Shalom, everyone. I'm Josiah Jeffrey.
I'm Hosea Jeffrey.
And we're back discussing the Torah portions. This week we're looking at the portion Tetzaveh, which is from Exodus 27:20 through 30:10. We've already read the portion ahead of time, so if you'd like to read it as well, you can go ahead and pause the video and do that, and then we'll go ahead and get into discussing.
In Tetzaveh, God instructs Moses on the establishment of the priesthood, describing the priest's holy garments, and outlining the sacrifices and anointing by which Aaron and his sons are to be ordained and made priests to serve in God's holy place forever.
So this portion begins with God talking about the priests. He says Aaron and his sons are supposed to serve as God's priests. And he says, "Bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother," talking to Moses, "and his sons with him, from among the sons of Israel, to minister as priest to me." So I just found this interesting just right off the bat, that God is calling Aaron and his sons out from among Israel. He's separating them here. They need to come and be for me. This is how they're going to be priests, is for you to call them out from among Israel.
It's very interesting that out of all the people of Israel, it's Aaron and his descendants that God picks to be his priests. It doesn't say why.
Right.
He didn't pick Moses, although it does say Moses was a priest.
Right.
But his descendants weren't. They weren't part of this covenant. They weren't meant for this tabernacle. This is specifically a service given to the house of Aaron.
But I also wanted to point out that in God calling Aaron and his sons from among the people, he's basically bringing them near to himself. They're going to be serving in the tabernacle and all that, which we read about in the last portion. So basically, they are going to be nearer to God than the rest of Israel. And as we'll see in the rest of this portion and the rest of Torah, that comes with a lot of extra responsibility, a lot of extra rules to follow, and it requires them to be holy, which is what we're going to see coming here shortly in this portion. And I wanted to liken this to the people of Israel, which we read previously are a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. In the same way that God is calling Aaron and his sons out from among the rest of Israel to be near him, to be extra holy and to have extra commands to follow, in the same way, God called the people of Israel out from among the rest of the nations. He brought Israel near to himself, and he gave them extra responsibility and extra commands to follow. And so, in that same way, Israel as a nation is near God and needs to be holy. Now, the first thing that God commands to be made for Aaron and for his sons to make them holy, like we've already said, is their garments. He says, "You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty." So God's about to go into a lot of detail as to how exactly to make these garments. But there are three key components to this that he said already. They're holy, they're glorious, and they're beautiful. And as we saw with the entire tabernacle in the last portion, that applied to the tabernacle too. There was lots of gold, blue and purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and all those things, which will actually be materials that these garments are going to be made of as well. But these are garments that specifically set Aaron and his sons apart as holy. No one else can wear these garments, just Aaron and his sons.
The first of these holy garments for Aaron, the high priest, is the ephod. It's made of gold and of the blue and purple and scarlet yarn and basically all the materials that were used in the tabernacle. But what I want to particularly note about it is the shoulder pieces on the ephod are stones which have the names of the sons of Israel engraved on them.
Specifically the names of the 12 patriarchs who are the 12 tribes of Israel.
In the order of their birth, in fact. And it says that Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for remembrance. So that's what I really wanted to point out. As high priest, whenever Aaron is going before God, he's bringing the names of Israel with him. He's causing them to be remembered by God. Implied in that, when God is remembering Israel, he's remembering his covenants with them. Mm. And he's remembering his faithfulness to them. So by doing this service, when Aaron is serving as priest, he's bringing Israel before God.
Right.
And so that's part of the role of the priest, is to bring the people closer to God through himself.
He's acting as the people's representative.
God is able to show his kindness to his people through the high priest, Aaron.
And again, along those same lines, God also says that the high priest needs to have a breastplate. It's made of cloth, but it has 12 stones set in it. And engraved on each of those 12 stones are the names of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says, Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before Adonai continually. So not only does Aaron bear the weight of the responsibility of Israel on his shoulders, but he also bears their memory over his heart when he's judging. This is a breastplate of judgment. We also see that inside this breastplate are the Urim and Thummim, which we don't know exactly what those are, but they're used by the priest to have judgments from God, as we see in other places in Scripture. So as Aaron is bringing God's judgments to the people, so we already saw him bringing the people before God. Now Aaron is bringing God's judgments out to the people, and he's doing that with the weight of Israel, not only on his shoulders, but over his heart, in his heart.
The next garment that Moses talks about is Aaron's robe, which he says is made olive blue, and around its hem, there are pomegranates and bells of gold. Mm. And they make a ringing, tinkling sound. And it specifically says he needs to have it on so the sound will be heard so that when he goes before God, he does not die. So it doesn't say why.
It just says the tinkling needs to be heard so that he doesn't die.
Well, we don't know exactly why. It does show he has to be wearing the garments. Mm. He has to be doing it properly. He has to come before God in the way that God provided for him to go. Kind of like how we have to come before God in the way that he told us to go. Mm. And that's through Yeshua the Messiah.
Right.
There is no other way. We can't come before God and not die unless we follow the way, the provision that he gave for us, which is Messiah.
Right. No one comes to the Father except through him. The next thing that God commands about is that on Aaron's head, so like on the turban that he's wearing on his head, there's supposed to be a golden plate tied onto the turban with blue string. And the engraving on this gold plate is Kodesh LaAdonai, holy to the Lord. And God says that the reason why this should be on Aaron's forehead is that Aaron shall take away the iniquity or the guilt of the holy things which the sons of Israel consecrate with regard to all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead that they may be accepted before Adonai. So this is kind of strange in that it's talking about the iniquity of the holy things that the people of Israel are bringing. It doesn't really elaborate on that a lot, but there are lots of things where they're told to consecrate the holy things, and they do that through sacrifices and blood and such, and to atone for the guilt of the holy place, like it talks about when discussing Yom Kippur. The main point here is that by having this plate on his head that says holy to Adonai, in this way, the gifts of the people of Israel, and indeed the people of Israel themselves, will be acceptable before Adonai. So it's almost like a reminder to God, Aaron is holy, and he's the representative of the people of Israel. And the people of Israel are holy, and their gifts are holy. And it all comes back to that Aaron himself is holy. God chose Aaron to be his high priest, to do all of his holy things.
This concept of Aaron having to bear the guilt for the things which Israel offers, the holy things which Israel offers, it reminded me of Isaiah 64:6, when he says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." So what Isaiah is saying here is their righteousness is unacceptable. Their righteousness is still filthy because of their iniquity. Because of their guilt.
So because of the other wrong things that they're doing, even their righteous things are unacceptable.
Yes, but what the priest does by his holiness is he's able to take the good things which are offered, the righteousness which we present to God.
And make that acceptable.
Yes, he's able to make it acceptable and make it holy. So it is with us. We may try to be righteous. We may try to say, I live a good life and try to present that to God. But God can't accept that. It's polluted by our own guilt, by the things we do wrong. But the high priest Yeshua, Kohen HaGadol, he takes away our guilt. And when he does that, he makes our righteousness acceptable to God. Mm.
So God then goes on to describe their tunics and their turbans and their sashes and just the other garments that they wear. Interestingly, that includes the priest's underpants. God specifically says that they need to have linen breeches, their underpants, to cover their bare flesh from their loins to their thighs. And God says they have to do that because if they don't, then they'll die. So again, like the bells where God hears it and they don't die, they need to have underpants so that they don't die. And God says it's because they need to cover their bare flesh, their nakedness. The priests wore garments with, they were robes with open bottoms. And so God is saying they need to wear these underpants to make sure that their nakedness isn't shown and their shame isn't shown. We already saw all the way back with Adam and Eve and with Noah that nakedness is shameful. And so God is saying they need to have any part of them that's shameful that needs to be covered so that they don't die when going before God in their holy capacity.
For all of us, our sin is shameful, our unholiness. It's what keeps us from coming to God. But Yeshua covers that with his blood. Yeshua takes away what is shameful in us so that when we come before God, we don't bear guilt and die.
But more importantly, Yeshua himself didn't have anything that was shameful. He was perfect. He was a lamb unblemished and without spot.
Absolutely. All the priests need not only these undergarments to cover their physical shame, but they also need sacrifices offered on their behalf to cover the shame of their sin,
which we'll read about later in this portion.
But Yeshua had no such need. Yeshua was able to come before God without anyone else offering sacrifices on his behalf and without any need to make atonement for himself. That's why he was able, with one sacrifice, to cleanse all of us forever without any hindrance to his own sacrifice and mediation.
And speaking of sacrifices, that's exactly what we read about next, is how God says the priests need to be consecrated with sacrifices. He says to take one bull and two rams without blemish, and also to have some matzah bread and some matzah cakes and some matzah wafers and put them in a basket. And then Moses kills the animals and burns up the bread. And Aaron and his sons are supposed to be washed with water, and then they put the priestly garments on them and they anoint them with holy oil. And they also sprinkle some of the blood of the sacrifices on them, and they put it on their right earlobe, their right thumb, and their right big toe, and then sprinkle the rest of the blood on the altar.
So yes, it's very peculiar. In order for these priests to begin their service of sacrificing before God, sacrifices have to be made on their behalf. From the very beginning, the very first animal that's killed is a sin offering. And it's not the priests who offer it, it's Moses. Although again, as we said, Moses was a priest of a sort. But in order for this priesthood to be launched, someone else had to be making sacrifices on their behalf, because they were not qualified to offer sacrifices for themselves because of their own sin. The sin offering had to come first before they were qualified to offer sacrifices. So apart from the sacrifices of someone else, this priesthood was finished before it started. On the other hand, Yeshua had no need for a sin offering offered on his behalf. That's why he was able to offer a sacrifice, his own self, to initiate his own priesthood. He came into a greater and more perfect Mishkan, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. And he did it once for all. His own sacrifice was sufficient to begin his own priesthood. And so this just again shows that as the priests of Torah were limited, Yeshua's sacrifice and his priesthood are unlimited.
And one other thing about this that I really want to point out is that it says that Aaron and his sons were anointed. Now, the Hebrew word for anoint is mashach, which some of you may recognize is related to the Hebrew word mashiach, which means anointed one and means Messiah. In fact, Leviticus will later call Aaron HaKohen HaMashiach, the anointed priest or the messianic priest. So this is showing that the role of priest is an inherently messianic position. It is a position of authority put in place by God. He's anointed in a way that makes him special and set apart from the rest of the people so that he can serve God in his bringing Israel closer to God. That is one of the main roles of a Messiah. This is one of the first times that we see someone be anointed, and it's as a priest.
Yeah, I know we've already kind of talked about the priest's garments, but specifically with this context of the priests have a messianic role, it kind of puts things into perspective. How the Messiah's job is to mediate on behalf of Israel, to make Israel remembered before God, for God to remember his covenants to Israel.
Mm.
And one of those is the promise that he would make a new covenant with the house of Israel,
mm.
that he would write his Torah on their hearts and that their sins would be remembered no more. And so Yeshua, as the mediator of that new covenant, as the high priest who brings that covenant to Israel, he is making it so the sins are not remembered, but Israel is remembered before God. And more than that, he brings God's judgments to Israel. Yeshua said, the Father does not judge anyone, but he has given all the judgment to the Son. Yeshua was given the authority to judge his people, to declare what is right, to teach them. He was a teacher. His own disciples called him Rabbi. And so this messianic role, this priestly role, involves bringing us to God and bringing God and his judgment and his righteousness to us.
I also wanted to just mention that, again, Moses is the one who's doing these sacrifices. We saw in a previous portion that after God spoke the Ten Commandments, Moses offered sacrifices and said, this is the blood of the covenant. And so Moses was the one offering that. But he wasn't offering that blood on behalf of himself. He was offering that to seal the covenant. He's not offering these sacrifices on behalf of himself either. He's offering these sacrifices on behalf of Aaron. So I just found that really interesting that Moses never offered a sacrifice on his own behalf. Now, it's pretty weird because Moses is a man just like everyone else, and yet somehow he's the one that God chose to initiate his covenant. He's the one that God chose to go before him on Mount Sinai, and we'll also see later, into the Holy of Holies before the Ark of the Covenant, which even the high priest isn't supposed to do more than once a year. So Moses is close to God in a way that none of the other priests are. And in that way, we see Yeshua as the prophet like Moses is also a priest who went before God closer than anyone else ever could. And he didn't offer any sacrifices on his own behalf. He offered a sacrifice on our behalf so that we can come near and we can serve God.
So if Moses is the one offering sacrifices on behalf of the others to initiate the priesthood, I think that also is parallel to how Yeshua offered the sacrifice for us to make us holy.
Mm.
Just as Moses' sacrifices made the priests holy, we were made holy by the blood of Yeshua. We already talked before about how we were a temple and we were holy.
Mm.
Well, God also said that he would take priests from every nation and tongue. So in that sense, we're also holy through Yeshua. And that's very important for a priest because the job of the priests is to serve the holy God. And in order to come into the presence of the holy God and serve him,
you have to be holy.
I was reminded of something that we're told in 1 Kefa, actually referencing other Torah passages, when he says, as he who called you is holy, you also become holy in all behavior, because it has been written, become holy, because I am holy. Kefa was actually specifically talking to Jewish followers of Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the same attitude extends to all of us, that if we were cleansed by Yeshua to serve our Father, the holy God, then we have an obligation to live holy lives.
Mm.
We've been made holy, so act in it. And if we're holy, we're able to fulfill our service as priests, especially for Israel, who were chosen specifically to be a kingdom of Kohanim. We fulfill that when we are being holy, when we are exercising that separateness, that undefiledness, which can only come through Yeshua.
Mm.
Because as we said, our righteousness is unacceptable except through Yeshua. But through Yeshua, it becomes acceptable. So we can serve him. So use the holiness he gave you to serve him, to bring others near to him, to intercede on the behalf of others so that they can be pointed to Yeshua and Yeshua can bring them near to God.
So after God finishes explaining how to sanctify the priests and make them ready to serve in their capacity as priest, God then goes on to initiate some daily sacrifices that the priests will need to kill. And he says that every single day, once in the morning and once in the evening, the priests need to slaughter a lamb. And they also need to offer some flour, oil, and wine as offerings as well. So I just wanted to point out that these sacrifices every day, the two lambs and the other stuff, this is regardless of what anyone else offers or needs sacrifice on their behalf. whether or not there are any other sin offerings or thank offerings or guilt offerings or any of the other kinds of offerings that we'll read about in Torah, these offerings need to be offered every single day just for the priesthood existing. So it shows that there's this ongoing cycle of death and blood necessary. In order to keep the priesthood holy, there needs to be a constant flow of blood, keeping everything holy, keeping everything atoned for. And again, this stands in contrast to the better priesthood, the eternal priesthood that Yeshua brings, because Yeshua offered himself once. And because his sacrifice was so much better than these sacrifices, and because that sacrifice was so holy, so unique, so perfect, it only needed to happen once. There's no more need for daily sacrifices for each individual sin once a year on Yom Kippur, as we'll see, or even just these general every single day sacrifices that happen just because. Yeshua was offered once, and so there doesn't need to be that constant death anymore.
Now, these daily burnt offerings are to be offered at the entrance of the Tent of Meeting, which is where the altar is. And it says they'll be offered throughout your generations at the entrance of the Tent of Meeting before Adonai, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. God is saying, this spot at the entrance of the Tent of Meeting, this is the place where I and the people
come together.
Through the priest. Altar and the priests offering the sacrifices on it. Those daily sacrifices are kind of like the price of admission for speaking with God, for God dwelling with the people of Israel. And God says, he will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. So God is saying, my presence will make this whole thing holy, the Tent of Meeting, and also the altar
and the priests. I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests to me.
And so if all of this is to dwell in the midst of his people, what does that say about his people Israel? The people of Israel, who are also seeing God's glory and who God is dwelling among, are also being made holy through the priests, through these sacrifices.
And through God's presence with the people.
Exactly. So the holiness, which makes God's presence possible, brings his glory, which sanctifies them and makes them holy.
So then God goes on, I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am Adonai, their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am Adonai, their God. So this is interesting. God says, I will dwell with the sons of Israel so that they will know that I am Adonai, who called them so that I could dwell with them. And this particular language of he will dwell with the sons of Israel, it reminded me again of Yeshua. He is Immanuel, God with us. And it says that the Word was with God and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in the same way that God is coming to the Mishkan to dwell with his people, the Word of God became flesh so that he could dwell with his people. And through Yeshua, we can know that he is Adonai, our God. Because as we'll see, God dwells with his people in this Mishkan. But then as the generations go by, so many Jews do not know Adonai. So many Jews do not know that he is the one who called us. So many Jews do not follow his ways. But through Yeshua, through the new covenant, he will draw all Israel to himself so that they can know that he is Adonai, our God.
I find it really interesting that after all of this about the tabernacle and the priests that we've read in the past few portions, a lot of details that some people might find to bog down, at the end it all circles back around to this, that they will know that I am Adonai their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And more than that, he says, he brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. This was his purpose the whole time. All of this, the tabernacle and the priesthood, which enable him to come down in the midst of his people to make them holy. This was all the point the whole time, that they might be that holy ethnicity, that kingdom of Kohanim, that treasured possession. He fulfills his purposes through Israel because he dwells in their midst. And if he couldn't dwell in their midst and make them holy, then what was the point in bringing them out of Egypt? How can he fulfill the promise to Abraham that Israel would be a blessing to all the families of the earth? It all comes back down to this, that Israel needs to know Adonai their God.
And in order for them to know Adonai their God, Adonai, their God, needs to be with Israel. And in order for God to be with Israel, Israel needs to be holy. And in order for Israel to be holy, they need a priesthood.
Exactly. So I'd say that the main takeaway is that we need to be holy for God, just as the priests were called to be holy so that they could serve on behalf of Israel. And just as the sacrifices offered on their behalf made them holy so that they could do their work, so also Yeshua made us holy by his blood. He offered himself on behalf of us to ordain us as priests for a special calling. As priests of God through Yeshua the Messiah, we have an obligation to do his work. As we live and serve in the presence of the holy God, we need to be holy so that by our holiness, we can bring others near to God.
That wraps up the portion of Tetzaveh. Next week, we'll be looking at the portion Ki Tisa, so be sure to tune in for that. Thanks so much for watching. Be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, and hit the notification bell to keep updated on new videos. And if you would, please consider sending us a donation to help us make more videos like these. We would really appreciate it. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next week. God bless.